Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson, Pete Crisco on CBSSports.com. Football is almost back. Thursday, we're recording this on Tuesday. We just got through final vacation of the year, Pete. Sure you took 6 days off over Labor Day, right?
No, I had to finish power rankings and Crisco's picks for the first time this week on Labor Day.
Do you feel confident about your picks?
You know, I really do.
Ooh.
You know, week one's tough. Really. Yeah. You know that. It's a tough, tough week to pick games because you don't know what's going to carry over, who's going to be good, who's not going to be good. I find it to be a tough week to pick.
Who is the number one team in your power rankings?
The Super Bowl winner.
Oh, it's right.
The Green Bay Packers.
So you don't give any credence to last year's results with the New Year's power rankings?
Yeah, I do somewhat, but I got, you know, you got to look. This is the first batch of power rankings where we start looking ahead.
And so,
it's easy to put the Broncos at the top and keep them there, but I don't think they're the best team, so I wouldn't put them in the number one spot. So I kind of, this is the first real batch of them where I'm moving forward, and I think, and in ranking these power rankings this week, they're all a direct reflection of the records that I had for each team when I played out the season.
Now that is the story. That's the Crisco's 2016 NFL picks. That's all. The power rankings are not up yet.
No.
So maybe we can dive into that a little bit later. But I think it's an insane thing that you do. You play out every single game. Now, do you like pick arbitrary scores when you do this, or do you actually?
You know what I do? I go back and look at some of the games. You know, last year and kind of match up the scores sometimes. Because it's easy to pick scores 24-17. So if I look back and I see a score where I think a team is good on offense and the other team's not good on offense, I might look at a score from the year before and say, okay, you know, 37-21 fits. You know what I mean? So I'll kind of look at the week that was that week and kind of try and match up some of the scores that way. Because you can pick every score with a 7 or 4 or 0, you know what I mean? And that's just not the way it works out. So.
Well, and those new extra point rules, you know, you see people missing more often. All right, one thing that stood out to me, and we'll get to the full picks. So the plan today on this podcast, and by the way, please subscribe on iTunes. You can search Roughing the Passer, CBS Sports, Football, we'll probably get there. If you leave a comment, we really appreciate it as well, because that, I don't know, people like that or something. But what we'll do is we'll get to our Super Bowl picks, and then our picks for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year. We'll get with our division records because those are all up on CBSSports.com. Right now, you can go and look and see who we think will win each division, how we think each team will finish. But before we get there, I want to point out, you have the Vikings at 9-7. Now, since we last talked, Pete, before Labor Day, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's not going to be the quarterback of the Vikings because his knee's in big trouble. It might be 2 years for his recovery time. The Vikings go out over the weekend, over the holiday, ruin everybody's time, and trade for Sam Bradford from the Eagles. How would you grade that trade?
I think it's a win-win for both teams. I really do.
But I made this point, by the way, because you had the Vikings at 9-7.
I had them at 9-7 with whoever was playing quarterback, and I'm having them at 9-7 with Sam Bradford playing quarterback because they're built around their running game and their defense. And you know, quite frankly, if you looked at last year, Will, they didn't do a lot on offense in terms of throwing the ball down the field. I know North Turner likes play action and drive the football down the field, but he didn't do it last year. And so I think Bradford will fit in, but I think they're a 9-7 team. When you're built to play good defense in the running game, everything has to go your way. And, you know, hope your quarterback can make a play or two. And I think Bradford can make a play or two. I had them 9-7 still in the playoffs. I still have them 9-7 still in the playoffs.
Did you have them at 9-7 if they only had Sean Hill?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't, like, it doesn't matter. That's fine.
Well, it matters, but I just think their style of play will make them a 9-7 team. Their quarterback didn't decide whether they were a playoff team last year. I don't think he was going to decide if they were a playoff team this year. I think what decides if they're a playoff team is the last few years, you know, coming up that Adrian Peterson's going to have in a really dominant defense and a coach who's very defensive-oriented. That's what they are.
Okay.
So, you know, they go to Tennessee this week, Will. What does Tennessee have?
Exotic smash mouth.
Right. And that game might be over in 2 hours and 35 minutes.
That sounds nice.
So, yeah, I think the Vikings were a playoff team. Either way, I think they're a playoff team with Sam Bradford. I think it's a good deal for the Vikings. I think it's a good deal for the Eagles. The Eagles give up a quarterback they really didn't want. They're going to play the kid. You know, I say that all the time. Play the kid, play the kid, play the kid. They're going to play the kid. And it's the right thing to do. And everybody always says, well, what happens if he's going to get his psyche messed up? Well, if his psyche gets messed up, you drafted the wrong guy.
Right.
Period.
All right, so my thing with the Eagles, though, is I kind of go in a different direction. I have a concern with the Eagles because I didn't think they were going to be very good in the first place. I think their offense has the potential to crater this season with Carson Wentz and Ryan Matthews, Lane Johnson's status up in the air. He says he's playing, but isn't he suspended? My thing is that the Eagles essentially admitted that their plan, which has not looked like a very valid and thorough plan, was a disaster in the first place. We don't want Sam Bradford. I mean, I don't think they know what the hell they're doing, and that's concerning to me.
Well, I think they know what they're doing now. They signed Sam Bradford, didn't know they'd be able to get up to number two to go get Carson Wentz. I mean, they had no idea.
But now, what if Wentz? If this is a 4-12 team, and that's how you predict them, and I think that's probably pretty close to accurate, they're about to hand the Browns a top five pick.
Well, but you also got your franchise quarterback.
Maybe.
Well, they think they do. They drafted. They moved up. Made the move to go get him. Now, whether he is or not, that's to be determined. But they feel like they got their franchise.
Okay, they have acquired a person who they believe could be their franchise quarterback. We don't.
Correct. If you can solve the quarterback position, everything else will play out the rest of your next 10 years. So if they got their franchise quarterback, then they can, you know, fill in around them.
Okay, then why sign Chase Daniel? What was the point of Chase Daniel?
That was, again, when did he get signed?
Before Wentz. I mean,
right. They didn't know they could get Wentz. Once you get Wentz, then you can peddle Bradford for a first-round pick to get back. And I think Howie Roseman made a good deal. I think the Vikings made a good deal.
No, I think Howie Roseman did a smart thing getting out from under Sam Bradford's contract and just going with Wentz. Because if you're going to spend that much draft capital on him, you might as well use him. And I understand what you're saying about the timing. I just think it says that they don't know what their solution was. And maybe that's okay. You know, the Seahawks didn't know what their solution was. They were trying everything under the sun, signing Matt Flynn, trading for Tavares Jackson, drafting a third-round pick in Russell Wilson, and they got lucky, and one of them worked out. I think the Eagles, I guess, are hoping the same thing happens to them.
Yeah, but again, they didn't know they'd get Wentz. They got Wentz, didn't need Bradford, got a one for him, and now you're going to start your quarterback who's your franchise quarterback. Get on with it. Everybody, I don't understand these guys that so much want to sit there and baby the quarterback. You drafted that guy, go play him. Yeah, he's going to take his lumps. He's going to have some bad games. He's going to have some good games.
He's got a hairline fracture already on his ribs.
That's minor. Just go play. And if he plays, he's going to learn 10 times more than if he sat on the sidelines and watched.
I think for the Vikings, and I don't want to try and talk myself into Sam Bradford winning a Super Bowl for them, but I think that the difference for the Vikings, and I'm with you 100% on the idea that they run the ball and they play great defense, I think that they have a small enough window, not a small enough window. They have created a window where they have a young, talented defense. They have Adrian Peterson, who's still one of the best running backs in the league, but is getting older. And they have enough pieces there to potentially make a run. So I'm okay giving up that first round pick and going to get a quarterback when you lose Teddy Bridgewater. You know, because Rick Spielman said it. What happens if Sean Hill is running the offense okay, and then he gets hurt, and then your season just totally evaporates? So I'm okay with the move. You know, I don't like if it were somebody other. I don't know who else it would be other than Sam Bradford. This I thought was interesting. Peter King reported, Rick Spielman said he talked to multiple teams, but these other teams wanted a player for the quarterback. If you had hazard guesses about who they would have been talking to, do you have any thoughts on that? I have a few guesses.
Maybe Jacksonville with Chad Henne.
I was thinking, I didn't list Jacksonville, but that is a good team. So Rick Spielman said they wanted players, like Pro Bowl players. I feel like they talked to the Patriots about Garoppolo. And the Patriots are like, look, we'll give you Jimmy Garoppolo for a first round.
No, the Patriots weren't going to trade Jimmy. What, play Jacoby Brissett for four games?
Well, if they could get a play, I
know he went to your school and all, but come on.
No, he's not ready. I mean, Big Turner loves him, but I think they were like, look, we'll give up Brissett. I mean, we'll give up Garoppolo, but we're going to need to get, like, Anthony Barr in a first-round pickback, which obviously the Vikings were going to
do. No, I don't think anybody was that out of line.
That's what Spielman said. He said they asked for a Pro Bowl player, someone who's been to a Pro Bowl, a nucleus player. So, I mean, it just makes you wonder, like, who would have – I mean, I think that – I wouldn't be surprised if – and I'm not saying that I think either of these teams did it. I just think – so if they call the Panthers and the Cardinals, right, and they say, hey, we're interested in Derek Anderson or Drew Stanton. Well, the Panthers and the Cardinals – aren't just going to give up that quarterback because they know how important that backup is. I mean, both those guys have had to play in the past 2 years. So and then maybe Mike Glennon was mentioned in this. I can't imagine that the Bucs wouldn't have given up Glennon for a first rounder though, right?
And particularly since he's going to be waltzing out the door.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who Spielman was talking to, but I find that interesting. And Browns maybe, Josh McCown, surely they would have given him up for a first round pick.
Right. They would. It's got to be a team that feels that it needs their backup quarterback.
Yeah. So the Patriots fit. And then I think any team now, though, you look at it, like if you're the Panthers and you say, okay, Cam Newton plays a dangerous style of football, he could potentially get hurt. We've got to have our backup. The backup is more important than people maybe give it credit, especially if you have consistency and someone that you know can step in and win a game or two, right?
Yeah, I get why teams want to have their backup, but you know, if you get to your backup, you're usually pretty much done if it's over a long period of time. If it's one or two games, you can get by with that. But if you get to the backup for 10 games, most teams are done with the good quarterbacks being out.
I would give up almost any backup in the league for a first round pick. Right?
Oh yeah.
So I'm saying, I'm surprised that there weren't more teams jumping
on it. If they really call Jacksonville loves Brandon Allen, he's going to be the backup next year.
Yeah, so they should have ditched Henny for a first round pick.
Right. I don't think they. I don't. I probably. They. I'm probably wrong. They probably didn't call him.
Yeah. 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 We should find that out. We could report that on our next podcast. All right. So anyway, since you don't want to talk about the news stuff going around here, for instance, Tom Brady unaware. Have you heard about Tom Brady's decal?
That's the most overblown story. we, you know, one thing about us in the media, man, we'll make some big deals out of nothing.
Oh my goodness, won't we? It's pretty.
I mean, look, did he take it off? Probably. If he took it off, fine. I'm just like you'd find anybody else and move on with it.
Maybe he was not generally aware.
Oh, come on.
Was on that. Mm.
You believe that?
Ah, Adam Schefter reporting Eric Rowe traded to the Patriots.
What's that?
Adam Schefter reporting that the Eagles have traded Eric Rowe to the Patriots.
And you know what? Eric Rowe will move to safety in their defense and end up being a good player.
Yep.
I was talking to somebody from the Eagles last week, and they said he thought Eric Rowe should be playing safety. And you know what? He should have been a safety. I thought all along coming out, I thought he'd be a really good safety. He didn't fit as a corner in their defense. He should have been a safety.
Yeah, and I think that actually makes a lot of sense. The Patriots are better than anyone else at acquiring, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Everyone else's trash is Bill Belichick's treasure. The Cardinals are good at that too, but.
But Bill Belichick has some of his own trash too.
He's not perfect. And in other news, Tony Romo not going on IR. Would you keep Tony Romo around or would you put him on short-term IR if you were the Cowboys?
I'd keep him around. You don't know with that kind of injury when it can respond. And the sooner you get him back, the better.
Did you hear what Jerry Jones had to say about it regarding mosquitoes?
What'd he say?
He said, there is no use, quote, circumcising the mosquito, end quote, on this. There's no one good enough to take Tony Romo's last spot, so they're just going to keep him on the regular season roster, the 53-man roster.
And that makes sense to me. I'm a big believer in that. I think that's the way it should be.
Really? You would keep him on the – because you could use him on the short-term IR, and then he can come back November 6th against the Browns.
Well, don't they have somebody else on that short-term IR that they're eyeing?
Do they? Who else?
They do.
Oh, McFadden, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
So
all right, that's
yeah,
fair.
So, you know, why not keep him on the roster? It's the extra quarterback. Big deal.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Moving along to our picks. These are the official CBSSports.com picks for the 2016 season, I believe. Actually, you know what, Pete? Before we get to our picks, we have a quick message from a sponsor. I don't know. We talked about last week Blue Apron and how good they are. Well, before I came up to my office to do this podcast, I was downstairs talking with my wife, and we were trying to figure out what delicious Blue Apron meal we were going to try tonight. We have three meals sitting down there because we get the family pack. Shows up fresh on our door in this big refrigerated box every week, and then we fire up the meals throughout the week. If you had to pick one, we have, listen to these three things. Summer vegetable and queso tostadas, chicken and fresh basil fettuccine, and porchetta-style sandwiches with baby kale pesto and marinated cucumber salad. How freaking good does that sound?
I love cucumber salad. I know that much.
Which of those three would you go with? The fettuccine, the queso tostadas, or the porchetta style sandwiches with the cucumber salad on the side?
Since I recently had gastritis, probably none of them.
Well, surprise,
no, they all sound really good. The fettuccine sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that is actually, we are going to have the fettuccine tonight. We're pretty excited about it. Blue Apron does this thing that, you know, the thing about Blue Apron that I like is that they have this, the quality of product that you get is ridiculous. They've got these partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, ranchers across the state. So you get this like sustainably sourced seafood, high quality cuts of meat. You know, it can be delivered all over the country. You get exactly what you need. So you're not wasting a bunch of food. We no longer have to go to the grocery store. My wife used to go to the grocery store. AK used to go every single day and buy like $100 worth of groceries and then throw it all away. It was the biggest waste of money. We get Blue Apron, three meals, much less than like a single trip for her to the grocery store. And some of the stuff, it's less than $10 a meal per person. You get to cook with the family, hang out with the wife. It's fun little family time. Our son, well, he doesn't really do anything. He's too young. But I mean, it's high quality ingredients. And people should go to blueapron.com/RTP. If you want to get three meals free, courtesy of the Roughing the Passer podcast.
You're making me hungry, Brinson.
I know. We're going to be starving. We're going to record this after lunch or after dinner because otherwise you're going to be starving. But seriously, check out Blue Apron. It's a fantastic sponsor. I like talking about products I believe in, and I actually believe in Blue Apron. So moving on to our picks, 2016 season. These are all at CBSSports.com. I think they'll be leading the site throughout the day. We went through and picked.
They better start leading the site with my playing out the season picks.
Because you spent like 12 hours doing that, right?
Yeah, 12 hours.
Like 40 hours?
Are you kidding me?
How long does it take?
I started that in the midsummer.
You just didn't knock it out for like really quick?
Yeah, okay.
All right. It just seems like, you know. It'd be a little
I don't easy. See it down there anywhere.
I see it. I've got it open right here. You have the, it looks like you have the 49ers beating the Browns in the Super Bowl. That's a bold pick, Pete.
Yeah, right? I went out on a limb on that one.
All right. We'll start with the Super Bowl picks. Or do you want to start with the divisions or do the Super Bowl picks first?
Let's go to division picks.
Okay. We'll start with the AFC East. We're just going in order that these are on the page. No surprise here. Every single person at CBS has the Patriots winning the AFC East. Is there any chance? Okay, of course, there's always a chance. If you had to see one team jump up and steal this division from the Patriots, who would it be and why?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Nobody. Nobody's taking that division from them. Are you kidding me? Not a chance.
I agree. I don't see how they don't win it. I mean, it'd have to be a Tom Brady injury, right? And even then, they could still win the division.
Yeah, nobody's taking that division. Nobody.
I like the Dolphins more. I'm the only one who has the Dolphins second. I like the Dolphins more than everybody else. It seems like everybody has the Bills second. I could see the Bills being a total disaster this year.
Look, I think the Bills are a disaster. When I played out the season, it played out that way. How do I have it?
You've got Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, Jets.
Yeah, I mean, it's Dolphins and Bills are going to be about the same.
And I believe that looking at your records, because I got these in front of me too, you got Bills and Dolphins both at 7-9, Jets at 6-10.
Yeah.
Can Adam Gase make Ryan Tannehill work?
He will. He will make him better. Hmm. He's going to throw the ball better down the field, which is something he had problems with last year and the year before. I think this offense suits him better. Yes, he'll be better.
So why don't you have the Dolphins with the winning record?
Because first off, their schedule's not easy. Hmm. And, I mean, they open at Seattle, boom, 0-1 right out of the gate.
Oh, and then they have to play New England, too. Yikes.
Yeah. And I just don't see them winning more than seven games. I don't think they're that good. I particularly don't think they're great on defense, either.
Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick, repeat a season?
They're not any good.
Yeah, I think they stink, too. All right, moving along to the NFC North. I don't want to talk about that. I mean, it's just talking about, like, three crappy teams churning below the Patriots. AFC North, you and I differ on this one. You got the Bengals in first, I've got the Steelers, and then I'm the only one out there who's got the Browns not finishing in the basement.
You have the Ravens in the basement?
I put the Ravens in the basement. Why not?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just feel like I look at the Ravens, and I mean, they're banking on Steve Smith coming back and being healthy after that injury. Steve Smith might be my favorite football player ever, but I don't know that he can come back and be effective over a full season. Breshad Perriman get? Are they going to get anything out of him? And they don't have, offensively, they're banking on Justin Forsett and Terrence West and Joe Flacco coming off an ACL. And then defensively, I just think that they're maybe the least talented defensive team since John Harbaugh got there.
Yeah, but Flacco's coming back. The offensive line should be better. I mean, they got two rookies starting on the offensive line, but they're both good players. Alex Lewis is a guy from Nebraska who a lot of scouts loved, but he had some off-the-field stuff. He's going to start next to Stanley. I think they're going to be better on offense. Defensively, there's some concern there, obviously, with Suggs coming off his injury and you know, the secondary being, you know, they get Weddle, that'll help. I think Jimmy Smith will be good at one corner if he can stay on the field. But, yeah, there's some issues, but they're not. Come on. You compare them to the Browns? Have you seen the Browns roster?
Browns roster is really bad. It's just a hunch, man. I mean, like, do you think the Ravens are going to finish above the Bengals or the Steelers?
No.
To me, there's a big gap there. So I would agree with that.
I think it's big gap between Bengals, Steelers, and then the Ravens. And I think there's a big gap between the Ravens and the Browns.
You got the Browns finishing 1-15.
I think they're awful.
They are pretty.
They're not awful. Everybody keeps talking about the offense. Take a peek at the talent level on the defense.
It's a disaster.
Right.
The only thing I just feel like they're going to surprise some people. A couple of games. I don't know how many games I have them winning. Maybe five, and then maybe I just think the Ravens could create. I think the Ravens could fall apart too. It's not likely, but it could happen. And it's, you know, there's no. If the Ravens win the Super Bowl, then I look like a moron. I mean, whatever. I look like a moron all the time anyway. I think everybody's assuming that the Ravens will bounce back. And I don't think that's a fair assumption.
They're not. I disagree with you, but let's move on to the next division because we got a lot of divisions to get through.
That's right. All right. AFC South. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Pete Prisco with the Jacksonville Jaguars in first place.
Why is that a surprise? I haven't picked them to win that division ever.
I'm actually surprised that you are the only one who has them winning.
Everybody's on the Houston bandwagon.
Is that what's happening? I'm always on these bandwagons and I don't realize it.
Are you on the Houston bandwagon?
I thought I was going against the bandwagon by picking the Texans.
No, everybody's on Houston. That great defense. Let me talk about that great defense.
Talk about it.
I'm going to go through it. I think J.J. Watt is a question mark. Now, look, he's coming off a back. No, you never know with the back.
All right.
If he's on the field, he's healthy, he's the best defensive player in the league. But he's coming off a back injury. That's concerning. You could just say, okay, he's ready for the opener, but it's a back. It's not an ankle. It's not a arm. It's not a shoulder. It's a back. There's always concern about that, okay? Two, they lost Crick last year. And Crick wasn't any – it was just a solid player. But have they replaced him? They might start Covington. Devin Still's been starting preseason. He wasn't any good. And then you got Vince Wilfork, who's 142 years old and wasn't very good last year. So I moved to the linebackers. I think Clowney's going to have a big year. I think it's going to really help them, or whatever he is, slash pass rusher. He's going to help them. Merciless is a good player. Cushing and McKinney. McKinney's really become a good player. They're really good at the linebacker spot. I think the secondary is solid. The corners are good. Andre Howe's a good player. They're good in the secondary. But I'm worried about their down line. And then you flip it over to the other side. Lost the center. Okay, Greg Manns is starting at center. Mm-hmm. The left tackle's coming off a quadriceps tear, which is a bad injury. He hasn't been ready all summer. Derek Newton missed most of the preseason. So there's concerns on both down lines for me. And that's all. And then there's also the Osweiler factor.
Yeah. I don't disagree with the concern on the lines. I'm going to give J.J. Watt the benefit of the doubt that he'll come back. Clowney's going to have a huge year. I do think that Osweiler, just because he's, I don't think he'll be worth $72 million. But I think it'll be enough of an improvement, and the addition of Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, who guys that will make a difference with DeAndre Hopkins there, and then Lamar Miller. To me, I know that people worry he's going to be he won't handle a feature backload. I think he's going to have a huge year.
I like Lamar Miller in their offense.
Bill O'Brien's fashioned some nice offenses with much worse players.
Nobody's going to have a good year.
Look, I would like to go the contrarian way in this division. I'm mad now that everybody's taking the Texans. You have the Colts second, Texans third, Titans fourth.
Yeah, I have the Jaguars winning it at 9-7, the Colts and Texans both being 8-8. I don't think anybody's going to run away with the division.
John Breach has the damn Titans winning the division.
Well, he got bamboozled by the preseason.
Yeah, they did look good. Here's the Jaguars finishing last. I do think we're a year too early on the Jaguars. We talked about this last week. I think we're a year too early on the Jaguars, but because they're in a bad division, they have a shot.
Right. Next year they're going to be really good. This year they might win the division and get in the playoffs and get dumped by Pittsburgh in the first round.
There you go. That sounds like you may have that prediction happening. In the AFC West, I'm all alone on an island with the San Diego Chargers in first place. What do you think about that?
I don't know what you're seeing there other than Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen back. Combination of Antonio Gates, Hunter Henry, learning a little bit as a rookie, Melvin Gordon being better than he was, the offensive line not being cadavers like it was at the end of last year.
Yeah, but
they lost a lot of one-score games. They have tons of talent on that defense. The defense can be good. The secondary's good, I believe.
The defense, I mean, Melvin Ingram's going to have, you know, 14, 15 sacks, I think.
Well, he can do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them winning the division. But they're going to be in a lot of games because of Rivers. He's always going to keep right. Deep. They'll be in the game Sunday against Kansas City.
I got the Raiders in second, Broncos in third, and Chiefs.
I got the Broncos winning based on their defense.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and then Lynch will be the quarterback in 5 weeks.
And, do you think 5 weeks?
Yeah. And then you look at the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be miss the playoffs. I have it. Denver, Kansas City making the playoffs, Oakland, and then San Diego. I got San Diego in last.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of our seven NFL experts had the Raiders in the playoffs. That's a red flag to me. That's too many people. I should have bailed on the Raiders.
I don't have the Raiders in the playoffs.
I know you and I think you and Ryan Wilson has him winning. You and Sean Wagner McGuff don't have the Raiders in the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't fall victim to that at all. I don't. I think they're like the Jaguars a year away, but they happen to be in a better division.
Better division, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe everybody – I'm the only person who doesn't have the Chargers in the basement. I think the Chargers surprised. Wild cards in the AFC, you got the Steelers and the Chiefs. And I've got the Bengals and the Raiders. So we're thinking same sort of line of thinking there. I think the NFC, AFC North will be close, and then we just
– I think the Bengals are better than everybody's giving them credit.
I do too.
I think the Bengals – I saw the Bengals 2 weeks ago when I went down and watched them. I saw them in practice a couple of days against the Vikings, but I also went down and saw them against Jacksonville last week, and they beat them up. They're really good on both lines, really good. I mean, they're going to be physical. They're big. They're strong. They're tough. I think the Bengals, this is going to sound great, but if Dalton hadn't got hurt last year, I think the Bengals could have won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a really talented team.
I mean, you think about it. Everybody raved about Pittsburgh. They had Pittsburgh beat. Pittsburgh could have beat Denver if they didn't fumble. And Cincinnati went in week 16 and had A.J. McCarron and had him beat and blew the game. And so, yeah, I think Cincinnati is the team that people are sleeping on in the AFC.
This happened last year, too. Everybody was sleeping on the Bengals last year. They were really good. What's their over-under for win totals? It's probably like 8.5 or 9.
Yeah, they're talented.
Yeah. All right, NFC East. You got the Giants, and I got the Redskins. Did I not put the Eagles in last in that division? Man, I meant to put the Eagles in last. F that. For whatever reason, they had me with the Eagles in third place and the Giants in last. That's not what I meant to do. I agree with you that the Eagles will be in last, but I have the Redskins winning. I don't think the Cowboys without Romo have enough.
I'm not convinced that Cousins is the long-term answer yet.
Sure.
I got to see it again.
Sell me on why what the Giants did this offseason was just spend a bunch of money and not get an offensive line.
JPP is going to be better.
Okay.
JPP would be better. And he started playing well at the end of last year. They get Vernon. You think Vernon's a one-hit wonder and you don't put up, but he puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Snacks Harrison can play on the nose. He's going to help the run game. They add Jenkins at the corner. I mean, and then you got to assume growth by, like, you know, Landon Collins, who trimmed down. I think he needed to trim down. They're, you know, they still got the other corners good on the other side with Rodgers, Camardi. To me, they're a team that has a much more talented defense. And on offense, they got a good offense. It's not a great offense. It's a good offense. But they have the potential to be really good. I love Shepard. I think Shepard's going to be a heck of a steal for them. I think getting Cruz back will help. I think the Giants are the best team in the division.
Do you really think Victor Cruz is going to do that much? I mean, I feel like he's touched.
No, but he doesn't have to do what he used to do. He just has to do something because it's better than what they had last year.
See, I kind of feel like I just feel like everybody's buying into everything the Giants did. If the Giants had done what the Redskins did, if the Redskins had done what the Giants did, we'd be mocking them for spending all that money.
Maybe. But the bottom line is...
the division stinks.
Terrible.
NFC North, Pete, because the NFC East is boring. It gets all the attention for whatever reason. We all got the Packers winning now that the Vikings lost. And I'm actually, me and old Wagner and McGough have the Bears finishing in second. Is that insane?
No, it's not insane because of what, you know, people see the Vikings being a different team without, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. But if Teddy Bridgewater was in there, would you have picked the Bears second?
No, I would have the Vikings second.
All right, so that's why I'm concerned with your pick because they didn't get much from Teddy Bridgewater last year anyways.
Yeah, it just feels like snake bitten. When your quarterback goes down with a knee injury and you give up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, it's a red flag for me. I love the Vikings.
The window is small. You got to do
it. I argued for it 20 minutes ago. But I just feel like there's something off. Something off. I don't like it. I think the Bears are a better team than people expect. If Adam Gase was still in Chicago, I'd love the Bears to be a sleeper team in this division.
Look, I think they're going to be better, the Bears, and I think they'll push Houston this week. You can look at those picks online too, but I think they'll push Houston this week, but I just don't think they're going to finish ahead of the Vikings. I think it's Green Bay class. You know, I picked them 15-1. I think they're going to lose this week to Jacksonville. That's their only loss of the season.
15 straight wins. That's that.
15 straight wins.
That would be the craziest. If you nail that one, that will go down as one of the all time shot calls in the history. Are you worried about the Packers releasing Sitton or
no
the defense
Thompson
at all?
Ted Thompson usually knows what he's doing. Would I have released him? No, but obviously his play wasn't quite as good last year. I know he's smart and he's going to help the center, but they must like Lane Taylor or whoever they're going to play at guard. Because
I think there were worries about – he's a boisterous dude. I think they were a little worried about him. You know, they basically told him, you're not getting a contract. I think they were worried about how he would affect the locker room.
Right, or they might have – you know, he wanted a contract extension. They probably told him to take a cut, and he said no and took his chances. He got $10 million guaranteed money from the Bears, so I get it, but – No, that's not going to impact the Packers. The Packers will be better this year. Rodgers is going to go wild. I think they're the best team in that division. I think, Vikings will be 2, Bears will be 3, and the Lions will be 4.
I think there's a lot of FU potential from Aaron Rodgers. Because people, we were talking about this last week, and people wrote off the Packers. I mean, not wrote them off, but people just are treating... After last season, people are like, well, maybe the Packers and Aaron, maybe Aaron Rodgers. He's getting the same treatment as Andrew Luck for some reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and every GM in the league, with the exception of maybe Roethlisberger and Tom Brady right now, would take both of them.
Yeah. Maybe Cam Newton. Speaking of Cam Newton, NFC South.
Yeah, maybe Cam. Maybe Cam, too.
Everyone's got the Panthers winning the division. You have the Saints in second, I think. I got the Bucks in second. And we both have the Falcons in last. What is that? Is there any reason to think that somebody could unseat the Panthers here?
No.
I mean, spoiler, I got them winning the Super Bowl, but I think they're better.
Sure, you do. You're a big fan of the Panthers.
I've never picked the Panthers to win the Super Bowl before. Good cursing. I wanted to go with the Cardinals, but too many people were taking the Cardinals.
I didn't pick the Cardinals either, but I think Carolina's got a good team. I work, you know, two rookie corners, Worley and Bradbury both starting. They're moving Ben Wickery inside. I don't think the safeties are great.
Mm-mm.
And I know they've covered up that some point, you know, because Norman was never as good as everybody portrayed him to be, but they covered him up with their pass rush. They better get a big year from Coney Ealy.
Yeah.
They better get a big year from Coney Ealy. And I think Charles Johnson is slowing down. That's a concern.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they let him walk. I mean, they let him walk this offseason. They brought him back. I mean, yeah, they know he's slowing down. They need him to be motivated. And Ealy, I think the issue with Ealy is he has the talent. Can he do it on a full-time basis? Because you saw in the Super Bowl, he played really well. But he can't just be some situational pass rusher that comes in, you know, half the time during the regular season. I mean, that's not going to fly. Then they're in big trouble.
No, I think he's got to become a 12, 13-sack guy. And Bradbury is going to be a really good corner. He was impressive in the preseason. Worley had a little more trouble, but he's going to be good too. It's just going to might take them a little time, and sometimes you don't have that time. And so I think it's going to be a tougher year for them defensively, maybe.
Sure.
And offensively, they might be better. I mean, you get Benjamin back.
I think 100% they should be better. I mean, I think people are sleeping on the fact that the Panthers can win 12 games and still have...
Oh, I think they're going to easily win the division.
Yeah, but I mean, if you win 12 games, you regressed, but that's okay. Like, you don't have to win 15 games a year.
No. 12 games, get in the postseason, get hot at the right time, and and go on from there.
Any chance a wild card, one of the wild cards comes out of this division?
No.
Okay. NFC West, still the best division in football?
Which one?
NFC West. Not even close? Not even
well, really? Two of the best teams are in the NFC West, but I think the next two teams are average, and one stinks.
You and I both agree. Yeah, the 49ers might be the worst team in football. Rams, they're an 8-8 machine waiting to happen. You and I both agree the Cardinals win. Seahawks come in as wild card.
I have them both going 13-3, and you know what the difference is?
Tiebreakers.
Go to the common games,
yeah,
and the Cardinals get the Patriots without Brady, and the Seahawks don't.
That's huge. That's huge.
That's the difference for me. So yeah, I picked the Cardinals, but it wouldn't shock me to see Seahawks win a division. It wouldn't shock me to see Seahawks get in the playoffs and make a run.
No, not at all. The Seahawks are really good. Russell Wilson's an MVP sleeper. In fact, several people picked him for MVP. You have the Patriots and the Packers in the Super Bowl. I have the Panthers and the Steelers. Now I kind of wish I'd gone with the Patriots because I don't like being four people on the AFC to me is a funky, it's hard to find a sleeper outside of the big three, really.
What, in the NFC?
No, the AFC.
Oh, yeah, the AFC. But in the NFC, you know, I think it's the Cardinals and Seahawks are givens. I think the Packers are a given.
Panthers are a given.
That's four givens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty easy, too, when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, something catastrophic could happen. But it's easy to look at the NFC and say, okay, the Super Bowl team is going to come from one of these four teams. You know, those four teams that we just mentioned. It's hard to find somebody past the Steelers, Patriots, and maybe Bengals if you want to go that route in the AFC that can challenge for the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, it's just hard to find a team. And I understand the Broncos won last year, but you look at the AFC West, you look at the AFC South. There doesn't seem to be a team in there really to me.
Yeah, but we sit here and we say that, and then some two sure. teams will emerge, and sure. and you know, somewhere, some way, somebody's going to get hot and make a run. It happens all the time.
Who is your MVP of the 2016 season?
Aaron Rodgers.
Who is your Offensive Player of the Year?
Aaron Rodgers.
All right, I've got Ben Roethlisberger, MVP. Andrew Luck, Offensive Player of the Year. Who's your Comeback Player of the Year?
My Comeback Player of the Year was... Boy, I got to go look at that. Was it Clowney?
I'll tell you who it is in a second. I feel like it might have been... I feel like you might have had Andrew Luck as well. Who would you say is your breakout player? If you don't have these offhand,
let me look and see where they are because I got them somewhere. But my breakout player was Clowney.
Oh yeah, it was Clowney. I looked at him this morning. The story's not on the website yet, but I looked at him this morning.
Yeah, my breakout player was Clowney. My comeback player was Andrew Luck.
I think it's either Andrew Luck or Dez Bryant, and I would have gone Tony Romo maybe. But Tony Romo's hurt.
Who's your breakout player?
My breakout player is... No, I can't remember who it was.
Well, let's go down to here. I got the categories right here. Let's go through. Super Bowl pick. I picked Packers. You picked...
I got the Panthers.
Okay, Super Bowl MVP. I picked Rodgers.
I got Cam Newton because, you know...
Regular season MVP. I got Rodgers.
I've got Ben Roethlisberger.
Offensive player of the year. I got Rodgers.
I got Andrew Luck.
You see a theme there?
Yeah, you got Rodgers. You got Rodgers winning all the trio.
Defensive player of the year.
I have Khalil Mack.
I got Von Miller.
I went Von Miller last year. I would be fine with either one of those guys. I think Mack's just going to have a monster year with all the weapons.
Coach of the year.
I've got Dirk Cutter.
I got Mike Zimmer.
See, if I had submitted these, I think Zimmer, if the Vikings make the playoffs, it has to be Zimmer, right?
Yes.
I don't understand why people pick Bill Belichick for Coach of the Year. It makes no sense.
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
This is the easiest pick of
all.
Zeke Elliott, yeah.
Yeah. Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I went with Joey Bosa.
I went with Jalen Ramsey.
I'm fine with Ramsey. He's good.
Breakout player, I picked Clowney. You picked...
Oh, I picked Jameis Winston.
Yeah, well, he's...
Does that count?
He threw for 4,000 yards last year.
But I'm talking like he's going to become a top, top.
After saying he's going to set the record for interceptions last year, you sure flip-flop quickly.
I said last year that Jameis is going to be a really good player, but he would throw lots of interceptions because of the system he was in, not because he was a bad player. And he was on pace for it 5 weeks in.
Most improved.
Andrew Luck. That's comeback slash most improved.
I did two separate. I did most improved player.
Who's your most
improved? It's not the same thing. Comeback most improved is not the same thing.
I would concur. I would agree with that. Who's your...
I did most improved. Lyle Collins.
Oh, interesting.
The Cowboys' offensive line is so head and shoulders above every other offensive line, including the Raiders, who everybody likes to prop up in the league. It's unbelievable. Tyron Smith, top two or three tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Lyle Collins will be a top three or four or five guard.
Zach Martin
is. Travis Frederick is. And Doug Free played really well last year. That line is head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, they're one, and the Raiders are like two.
Free fall teams.
I have the Bills and the Chiefs.
I have the Bills, the Jets, and the Redskins.
Hmm.
Bounce back teams.
I have Chargers and the Buccaneers.
I just have the Giants.
And you have one sentence. They will win the NFC East. Teams still undefeated after week four.
Playing out the season, these three were the three. Cardinals, Seahawks, and Steelers.
I'm just laughing because you have the Packers going 15-1, but they're not undefeated after week four. I have the Panthers, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Steelers.
And then last team to get a win.
This is the 49ers. This schedule is hard.
Browns.
The 49ers have the Rams in week one. Then they have back-to-back road games with the Panthers and the Seahawks. Then they get the Cowboys and Cardinals. Then the Bills and Buccaneers. They might not have a win before week eight.
Browns
could sink too. Browns could sink too. Is there? That's all I got. All right. All right. So we have a lot of people who went. There's Russell. Three people picked Russell Wilson to win MVP. Any chance he wins MVP?
Yeah, there's a chance. A lot, big chance.
Do you like the potential for the Seahawks offense?
I think the receivers are going to be really dynamic. I think they're going to be good. I hope they let him play like he played at the end of last season. Because that's the guy. You know, for all the criticism I've given the guy, what you saw last season was what I've been saying they needed to get to, was allowing him to play quarterback.
Yeah, and he's good at it.
Yeah, well, he still leaves clean pockets too much. Sure. He still doesn't get off his first read or second read quick enough, but it's coming, and he's gotten a lot better. He can't see over the middle of the field. That's over the line of scrimmage in the middle. That's a problem, but he's getting better. But still, I don't want him to revert back to a power running team, because that's not who they should be.
Okay, Broncos hosting the Panthers Thursday night, first game of the year, Super Bowl 50 rematch. First time a rematch has ever taken place in the opening game of the year. It's pretty cool. How do you see this game playing out?
I think the Broncos will win it with their defense. I don't, you know, Simeon will be good enough. He's not, going to have to be great. That's the Kubiak way. You know, run the ball, zone runs, take your shots with, you know, with the bootlegs and stuff. I think Simeon's good enough athletically. You wait. Will, if you haven't watched him, he's got a big arm. He's smart. He understands the concepts. And I just think that they'll find a way to win that game with that defense.
Simeon has talent. I think the Broncos quarterback situation is probably oversold relative to how good Simeon has looked in the preseason and how physically talented Paxton Lynch is.
Here's the other thing, okay? We saw the Panthers' tackles in the Super Bowl. And a lot of people say, well, they went through the whole season and played really well. But that was more of an aberration for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Michael Orr played better than he did, and Mike Remmers played better than he probably is. They got to the Super Bowl, they had problems. Now, new season, same pass rushers. What are they going to look like when they take the field this week? Are they going to do a better job? Are they going to help them more? What are they going to do? There's that whole factor in there. Because I think Michael Orr, yeah, he played pretty well during the season for Michael Orr. Now, he's not a top five tackle, top 10 tackle, but he played pretty well for Mike Orr. Mike Remmers played pretty well for Mike Remmers. But did they become who they are in that playoff, you know, in the Super Bowl?
You could also argue they didn't play a whole lot of dominant pass rushers throughout the season.
Right. You know, Atlanta didn't rush the passer. Tampa Bay didn't rush the passer. And New Orleans didn't rush the passer.
That's right. They played Philadelphia, Green Bay, Indianapolis in that three-game stretch at home. They got the Giants.
I want to see how those two, that's something I'm keeping an eye on Thursday night is, how do Mike Remmers and Michael Orr look against those guys this time? Are they better, or is this who they are?
It'd be a bad start to get shoved around by Von Miller and company again. And they might.
They are, Will. They got problems.
Yeah, they have problems. I'd be interested. I'm going to be interested to see how these Panthers wide receivers go against the best secondary in the league, because with Kelvin Benjamin, with Devin Funches, I don't know that Kelvin Benjamin's going to be 100%. Ron Rivera didn't seem to indicate they'd give him every, you know, he's not going to be playing every single snap. Very curious how those, with their full size, with that full basketball team, how they match up against Denver secondary.
It's a big secondary, but they're good corners.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got Harris, Roby, and that group. They're good.
Yeah, very good. What's your pick for the final score?
I picked the Broncos to win, and I picked the score at 23-21, Denver.
I've got the Panthers winning, I think. But actually, I wouldn't be surprised. No, I've got Denver covering the spread and Denver winning straight up, I guess. So there you go. Even though I got my Super Bowl winner, just like you, I got my Super Bowl winner. What are these guys doing? I got Carolina winning and then Denver covering against the spread. That's not possible, is it?
Yeah, because Carolina's favorite.
Oh, Carolina's favorite by 3.5. Okay, I've got Carolina winning straight up and then by less than 3 points.
I think it's a tough game for young. I mean, not for Yankee, but it's a tough game to open the season on the road at the Super Bowl chance
so
place.
So hard. Yeah.
And in the altitude, too.
And I would expect that John Elway and Gary Kubiak will have Trevor Siemian ready and put him in positions where he is not forced to try and win the game at quarterback. That's the whole key for Denver.
Well, that's the Kubiak way. That's what he
sure.
wants to do.
That's right. All right. This is the Roughing the Passer podcast. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to iTunes. We'll be back later this week to make picks. Brady Quinn may be involved. Who knows? We'll see. For Pete Briscoe, I'm Will Brinson. Thanks for listening.